Let's go to, we're talking about the battlefield, and the battlefield being your mind. And some people think that your mind can be fixed. And somehow, when Jesus comes into your life, he fixes your mind. Well, if they have any integrity, they know that their mind isn't fixed. But it's a great excuse not to live by faith. So, let's 2 Corinthians 11 has this declarative statement. And again, he's talking to the Corinthians. Upbraiding them for altering the faith, or altering what faith is. So anyway, verse 1, would to God you could bear with me in my little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. As the serpent beguiled Eve, he's afraid. Now the question is, what does it mean for your mind to be corrupted? Anybody?
It has something to do with the simplicity of Christ is trusting in God in all things. And the opposite would be trying to figure things out yourself and make your life work right, not trusting God.
One way to look at it. I think corruption may be a compromise between walking in faith and still trying to use your fleshly mind. That might be corruption.
Yeah, I mean that's all true. Remember the pardon?
I mean, in the very passionate definition you have of that you've said for years, or what the Bible says.
Well, one of the things is the subtlety factor. They throw that in there.
What was his subtlety? How did he beguile Eve?
I twisted the truth. I twisted the truth a little bit.
Right, he beguiled her to leave innocency. Now, this is a big deal, because innocency is loss of awareness of self in one real sense. And this is why Matthew 18 is so important. Let's just go there. Let's read it so you can make sure I'm not making it up. Verse 3, Matthew 18. Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the little child there is the one that's before self-awareness. Except you be converted and become as that little child, that innocence. And so this is the fundamental thing of everything, that you have to return to that innocence, and that's what the whole process that we call sanctification from the beginning of your conversion to the in Christ position is returning or becoming or returning to the innocence. The serpent beguiled Eve from that innocence. Does that communicate?
Yeah, one other thing on that, Matthew 18, where it talks, whoever shall humble himself as the little child, the two together kind of give a better picture of the little child. Humble themselves. They don't have to try to humble themselves. They're in their innocence.
We have to humble ourselves to get back to that point.
Right. And the humble humility, the real meaning of humility is you've abandoned yourself. Now, this sounds impossible. And it's that scripture that we just read about becoming an adult, as that little child. That's the least studied. Well, it's right along there with you travel over sea and land to make one convert. When he's made, you make him twice the child of hell you are. But here, it's this incomprehensible, seemingly impossible, that you lose self-awareness. That's the real definition of innocence. And that's what the serpent beguiled Eve away from. Well, let's go back. Let's go to let's go to Colossians 1. We may have done it before, but it won't hurt to remind us. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am made a minister, a servant. Again, we have becoming an enemy. In our mind, my wicked works. And what are the wicked works? We become an enemy in our mind by wicked works.
Self-seeking.
More than self-seeking, self-awareness. And what that produces is automatically and again, I say, and I'll say it until hell freezes over. The place of being and losing awareness of self is to lose awareness of self is what we call sanctified. So you go from salvation to sanctification. The only way you get there from salvation to sanctification is repentance. Every time you find that you become aware of yourself, the garment is spotted by the flesh. Every time you do what every other Gentile does, then your garment is spotted by the flesh. And somehow, some way, the only way that I know that we can get there is what I've said so often, because what I just said is seemingly impossible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, the only way, and this is the mystery and miracle of repentance, is if you can't repent from it, i.e. stop doing it, whatever it is that you're doing, at least, at the very minimum, give it back to God and say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this without doing that. So that you're always in the lowest seat before God. And you find something out when you do that, when that repentance happens, because that is repentance, I don't know what to do, is that that's the only way. Because if you think about it, if you try to understand the Bible with your mind, which I did, it just does all kinds of other things. It just enhances self. Until you finally find out the only way you can understand the Bible is by repentance. And by repentance, you become as that little child. And by repentance, it's possible to return to innocency. Now, is there anyone that doesn't believe that the goal of this is to return to innocency? Remember, not too long ago, we studied innocency in all its forms in the Bible. I think we concluded that the only way you can understand or describe innocency, it has to first lose, you lose self-awareness. All right, let's go to...
I just have one comment that in all this, it's like the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself.
And the operational word there is all your mind.
Be love, really, wouldn't it?
Hmm?
Love would be the operational word.
Right, but it's agape, which man cannot do.
Well, man cannot do any of this, actually.
Well,
I mean, that's part of what
the whole idea then is that what your mind cannot do, it must be, but the only alternative to what that is repentance.
I think repentance is part of love. I think if there's love, that may be interchangeable with repentance. When you love God, you're going to turn from yourself. In that activity, if you want to call it that, and that puts it in a place where the power of God then can do what it intends to do in you. The because you don't love without laying your life down or abandoning self.
Right, it's all.
It's kind of, in my mind, it's a better word for how you get there than repentance. Because I think love comes before repentance. You know, if it doesn't, then you're doing something to get something. It's cause and effect in a way.
No, you're just... Repentance is just another way of saying there's no way that I can do this. But you can't, again, we've talked about it so a thousand times, you can't repent of something you think is okay. As long as you think taking thought for your life and giving thought for tomorrow and all that is okay, you can never repent from it. And love isn't going to be in there at all. You may talk about it, but it isn't in there because you're still self-seeking. So repentance is the only word that can apply. But again, repentance isn't necessarily... It's what you do automatically when you're tired of something.
Right.
But it has to have that name. That all men would come to repentance. I mean, for some reason you don't like that word.
I don't like it. It almost sounds like part of the Babylonian garment.
Yes.
It's cause and effect, of which we preach vehemently against. So when I hear it as a exercise, then...
No, it's an automatic. It's an automatic when you see the vanity of something you're doing.
Okay, well, if automatic is different than doing it...
Well, if you repent, but if you go just run around repenting and... You know, you're kidding yourself. It's not repentance.
It's like you're judging good and evil and saying, that's evil, I'm going to stop doing that.
No. That has nothing to do with repentance.
Religious guy.
It has to do with, you see, again, he came to preach the gospel to the poor. It has nothing to do with how much money you have. It has to do with whether or not you are sick unto death of the world system. If you're not sick unto death of the world system, then God's got to work on you. The Holy Spirit's going to show you where you're not believing on Him. But it may take a long time, because if you have investment in what you think you like, and it appears to be working for you, there can't be any repentance. What you'll do automatically is you'll put God's name on what you're doing, if you're a believer. I certainly did. But you can't get rid of the word repentance.
I know it sounds like I'm trying to do that, and that's really not at all where I'm coming from.
All right.
Because I think repentance is fundamental. But it's how it's activated or seen. The automatic, I agree. You come to a point where you're done with it. You're tired of it. It's ridiculous.
Well, that should be from leaving one world to going into this place that nobody understands. And when you reach that point, that's what baptism is. It's your death. And you're confessing your death, whether you know it or not, you're confessing your death to this world and everything in it. And that certainly was true with the baptism of Christ by John the Baptist, called the baptism of repentance. Now, what did Jesus have to repent of? He repented of liking the world. So thought there was value in the world. Now that he had all his power, he could fix the world. That's the first test that Satan gave him after the baptism. But he saw baptism as his death, as Son of Man. So do we.
What he said, it was to fulfill all righteousness.
Well, that's part of what he said. But the whole idea is to fulfill all of the stuff that are in the Daniel.
Yeah.
But it's the first thing that Satan tested him on is to use this power now to try to fix human race. All of time and space. And or fix ourselves. You don't have to worry about news. You're not going to be fixed. You can't get better. You can only get dead. And if baptism was your, if truly was your death, and self-awareness is gone, repentance is gone. But we have this issue that the evil one keeps raising himself from the dead. That's his job. To put to the test that good and perfect and only will of God, which is Christ in you. And he's tested in the same way Christ was. That's why we have to continue with him in his test, not ours. Our test is gone. You are they that continue with me in my temptation. Again, your test is supposedly, it's gone in baptism because it's your burial.
I'm seeing a big contrast between this morning. Repentance clarified more. It's not, we're beating ourselves up. That's like the penitentes or you know, we're hitting ourselves. And that's not repentance. That's that. But repentance is simple. And it's turning from one, it's turning around,
Well, the true meaning of repentance is at the bottom is your death. But if you think that repentance is some kind of cause and effect, then it's not. And you're not repenting if that's the case. Let's go to Romans real quick. I thought we'd be done by now, but it seems like we study the same things all the time. Romans 6. Just a couple of verses. I got to hold my Bible together to read it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Now, let's go to Romans 8 real quick. Just verse 5, for they that are after the flesh, doesn't mean they're trying to get it, it means that their judgments are obeyed the same as every other. For you that are after the flesh, where did I go? Oh, for they that are after the flesh do mind or give breath or importance to the things of the flesh, But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, or flesh minded, or time and space minded, is what carnal is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then he says, because the carnal mind, no matter what you do, your mind, this beast up here, is carnal because it's made of meat. Your carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's a different way of saying the same thing we just saw. So somehow you have to leave flesh behind, and that's what baptism was for. Just as we baptize every year, so did they in the first century. Because if resurrection of you has occurred instead of the resurrection of Christ, and how do you know? You know it has occurred if you're carnally minded, if you're giving importance to things of time and space. That's it in a nutshell. So our stuff is assumed to have been tested in baptism. Doesn't necessarily have to be, but I mean, that's the whole point. That we are buried. We are dead and buried. So we have no more test about our flesh. Now the test is about him. If the baptism was really your death. If it wasn't, then we are baptized again, just like we have to do everything a million times. There's no singleness of action that can take care of this mystery. We want to think there is. The closest thing that we have to the singleness of action was the remember the three ways that the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, if we think we have the faith of Isaac, it's like it's instant revelation, but it's at least instant revelation to put away everything he was doing at that time. But it we see when you read more about Isaac, there's still a lot of tests going on. But now they're tests of Christ's temptation. You continue with him in his test, just as Isaac and Abraham, Jacob continued with him in the test of Christ. To be carnally minded is death. There's no in between. You can't be partially dead and partially alive. To be carnally minded means giving importance to things in time and space. No matter how much you think they're important, but still being carnally minded.
So then spiritually minded would be giving importance to things of God.
Right, even bad, that's the only thing that's left. So there's nothing in time and space that would is important to God. After we killed his son, then there's no more. All right. We're still studying this exchanging gods, and this is the core of the exchanging gods, is leaving the one you've been trusting in all your life, leaving it behind. Finally, bury the son of a bitch. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There can be no of faith by the use of this mind. It can't happen. All right, take a big guy.